welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
Listeners, beware. This is an amazing poem that we're going to talk about. Mark's going to sort of walk us through. It's one of those poems where if you believe the data, how do you really implement it in your practice? Anyways, let's begin with a little bit of background. No surprise to listeners that they see a lot of back pain in their offices. Almost everybody, 80 or 90% of Americans have lower back pain at some times in their lives. Also, lots of visits to our offices for hip or knee osteoarthritis, which means that we're asked to provide some sort of treatment recommendations. And often that includes physical therapy and other things, but it often includes medications. Long-term outcome for lower back pain is generally favorable. However, there is a group of people that develop chronic pain, and those symptoms can be persistent and can affect quality of life. Lots of non-pharmacologic treatments for both chronic and acute back pain and osteoarthritis, some of them over-the-counter agents, and some of them have to do with manipulation and the like. Most evidence of efficacy comes from short-term trials, so that the relative benefits and safety for long-term periods in patients with both subacute and chronic pain is a little bit uncertain. How do we use medications? How long do we use them? Which medications do we use? Are still debatable questions. There are both non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that listeners will know about and all of the opioids, naturally occurring and synthetic opioids. The perception amongst both providers and clearly our patients is that opioids are much stronger. They're higher up on the pain relief spectrum. They provide better, deeper, longer lasting pain, and that doctors are just chintzy handing them out. If they would hand them out more, people would be more comfortable. But it turns out that these perceptions actually differ from what the evidence says. Mark found a poem for us this week. It was published in JAMA 2018. It starts on page 872. It attempts to answer the question, are opioid medications preferable for improving pain-related function in adults with severe chronic back pain, hip pain, or knee pain? Mark, tell us what they found.
Yeah, this is really potentially a game-changing trial, and it didn't get as much press as I thought it deserved when it was published. And, sometimes the media covers what it wants. There's obviously a lot going on in the media right now. Maybe the president tweeted something, and they had to pay attention to that. But this was a really important trial. And so, like you said, we've always believed that opiates are more effective, and yet there have been a number of trials coming out recently looking at patients with back pain or acute pain or post-op pain, showing that you can achieve very similar results in terms of efficacy and better results in terms of harm and side effects using non-opiate pain relievers. So in this study, they took adults with chronic back pain or hip or knee osteoarthritis. It was at least moderately severe, and it was daily for at least 6 months. So this is, pretty significant. They also didn't exclude patients who had depression or PTSD. So it was a fairly generalizable group too. They kind of took all comers. There were 240 patients, and they were randomized to opiate management or non-opioid management. Those in the opioid group started with immediate release oral opioids, so I think hydrocodone, with an escalation to sustained release oral opioids, and finally to transdermal fentanyl if needed. Titration was continued till they got to a maximum daily dose of 100 morphine equivalent milligrams. That's higher than what the CDC recommends. We typically use, they'd like us to max out around, I think, 50. That's a serious dose. It's equivalent to about 100 milligrams of hydrocodone or 70 milligrams of oxycodone per day. So, significant doses of opiates. In the non-opiate group, they were started on acetaminophen and NSAIDs, and then they could step up as needed to things like amitriptyline, gabapentin, capsaicin, topical lidocaine, and finally, if the third step was either pregabalin, duloxetine, or tramadol if needed. They did medication adherence monitoring. They had good follow-up, over 90% at 1 year. And this was mostly a male study. Men 58 years was the average. Over 80% of the patients were men. So using their intention to treat analysis, there was no significant difference between groups in pain-related function over 12 months based on standard scales. Overall pain intensity was significantly better in the non-opioid group. Dropouts due to adverse medication symptoms were significantly higher in the opiate group. That's believable. 19 versus 8%. There were no deaths or diversions detected in either group. Only 11% in the non-opiate group actually got the tramadol. So it was mostly managed without using tramadol. So non-opiates, bottom line, were at least as effective and were safer and better tolerated than opiates for patients with moderate to severe chronic daily pain due to back, knee, or hip problems.
I'm a little surprised, just based on my experience, that I have patients complain of adverse medication-related symptoms in significant numbers who are on NSAIDs. I don't see that many complaining of opioid side effects, you know, occasionally constipation and things. But the study says that they saw more adverse medication-related symptoms in the opioid group.
Yes, they did. And, you know, I think part of that, I don't know, maybe part of that's our perception, how we ask, what we, you know, how we, you know, what our expectations are, what the patient expectations are. I'm not exactly sure. Part of it may also be that they got to fairly high doses in a lot of these patients where you're going to have more side effects.
I'm not questioning you or the authors. It just as you get into higher doses of NSAIDs, my experience is that patients have more gastritis and GI symptoms and come in and say, hey, doc, this is just eating up my stomach.
They didn't get to terribly high doses of NSAIDs, and they were also, I think one of their exclusion criteria was patients who had pre-existing intolerance to any of the medications or ulcers. So I think that may have been some selection bias.
Yeah. It is impressive that they had such a small dropout rate.
You know, we just got to get our patients to believe this, and we have to believe it ourselves and have confidence in it. I think a lot of it is also how we sell this to our patients and how we talk to our patients about this and kind of harness the placebo effect.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is sort of sociology, right? I mean, if you can get the NSAIDs over the counter, and if the government says that they're safe enough to be sold over the counter, clearly they can't be strong enough for my pain. I need something that the government doesn't trust that only you can give me a prescription for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again next week.
All right, we'll make acetaminophen prescription only.
Exactly.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.